pants and grass. Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha ane kak. Gunnish cheese.
From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, January 23rd. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gonna cheese, hawa, toksip nusum, salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream on KTOO's YouTube and Facebook pages. Music and conversation for this Friday, January 23rd. Yaith Yatsin, Nicholas Galanin, is in the house. He's here with dual projects happening tomorrow. The opening of an art show at On Hit, and his band Yatsin just dropped their new album, Stand on My Shoulders. The band will play an album release party at the Crystal Saloon tomorrow night, Saturday, January 24th. We chat with the creators of a new interview-based play opening next week here in Juneau, These Birds, produced by Theater Alaska. And CBJ Pools has some updates for us and details on some upcoming classes. That's all happening today on Juneau Afternoon. But first, let's kick off the show with the title track from the new album, from Stand on My Shoulders, from Yatsin. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
Thank you.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also tune in to our live stream on KTOO's YouTube and Facebook pages. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That is a new song, the title track off the latest album, Stand on My Shoulders, from the band Yahtzeen. Billed as a continually evolving musical collaboration. It's guided by Yaith Yahtzeen, whose government name, Nicholas Kalanin, who grew up and makes his way in Sitka, Alaska. The band will play the Crystal Saloon tomorrow night, Saturday, January 24th, with an album release show. And during the day, it's the opening of Gestures of Our Rebel Bodies, a collaborative group art show opening at On Hit, Clinkett and Haida's new cultural space downtown, which features some of Nicholas's monotypes, which is also featured, which is really cool, and there's a cool story behind that, as the art for the album cover. It's full circle for an artist of this caliber. He's an artist who has been working seamlessly through print, photography, carving, music, writing, just everything. Welcome to the studio, Yaith Yahtzeen. What's up, Nicholas? Oh, wait, let me turn on your mic.
Mic check.
There you go,
all
there
right.
You go.
Goodness, geez, great
yeah, I'm
to
so
be
excited
here.
To have you in the studio. I got nervous, forgot to turn your mic on.
It's all good.
But yeah, Goodness, geez, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here. I've been looking, following and looking at the work, and it seems like, I mean, for years you've been busy, but this last, I don't know, 18 months or so has been like extremely full. You've had some large installation works at museums and outside and different places around the country, the world. You toured with the band with Portugal the Man recently. Plus, somehow in all of that, you got the album produced and recorded. So I guess my first question is, you know, where does your energy come from to get all this done?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, we all have the same amount of time in the day. I feel like I get access to a lot of wonderful communities through my work, and that's really inspirational in a lot of ways. Obviously, being here, home on the land, is really important and grounding in so many ways, just to try to get back and rest and... So, yeah, I think there's a lot of potential for ideas in this world, and I really, you know, I find it important to try to realize what I can when it makes sense. So,
is your home base still in Sitka?
Yeah, I'm still in Sitka.
Okay, so you get to go out to all these wonderful places. It's really cool. You can search Nicholas Galanin artwork or installations. You'll find some really cool videos of some of these large installation pieces that you have been doing recently. I'll have a picture of one I'll show in a little bit. But then I guess the opportunity, like you said, to come home, right, to come back to the land, sort of, does that keep you grounded?
Certainly, yeah. It's, yeah, you know, the seasons, these seasons don't wait for anybody's schedules or itineraries. Mm-hmm. And I keep telling myself, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to go anywhere over the summer. And these trips and obligations and work, you know, kind of creeps in.
Yeah.
But so far, I haven't been successful with that this summer.
Yeah.
This upcoming summer, I think we play Timber Music Festival in June. Maybe that's not supposed to be announced yet. But.
Oh, oops. First, you heard it here first, Juno Afternoon.
So, but anyways, we got some other shows here and there and the short trips.
But there's gigs a-coming, right? Yeah,
yeah.
I'm going to ask you about that in a little bit. But because I think that's really interesting to think about what the future holds, but it's also, you know, fun to reflect back a little bit and think about this. So let's talk about this album, Stand on My Shoulders. Where does the title and the artwork for this album come from?
Sure. The record was recorded over a period of time of about 3 years. So from the initial exploration of sonic sound and, you know, music, storytelling, lyric, all of these things, collaboration, things start to piece together. And towards the end, trying to, you know, find a complete, like, idea surrounding a project can be, it can be exciting, it can be challenging. You know, with this particular record, my father, Dave Glennon, walked into the forest prior to, like, maybe the start of it, around that time, maybe a little bit before that. And so just having time to reflect on that and having time to reflect on, you know, the title directly is referencing, you know, having shoulders to stand on from our ancestors, from our elders, from those, from our mentors and teachers in the community. And that's, yeah, it's acknowledging that here with the title. So, you know, the whole record wasn't specifically written in this concept with that in mind, but it's an acknowledgement in that sense. So
I see.
Yeah.
And then the monotype that is, because I know you did an installation of monotypes recently. You're going to see some monotypes tomorrow at On Hit as well, right?
Yeah. This original monotype will be at that opening, which is going to be, it's kind of nice to pair that with this celebration of the record release.
Yeah.
The imagery of that monotype is a reference to an image of my father and his Tlingit atu, or in, you know, ceremonial regalia. And it was at a kuik raising. He was wearing that with another elder, Herman Kitka, when this totem was raised in 97 in Sitka, I believe.
Oh, wow.
My uncle's totem pole. That my father kind of had a lot to do with the organizing of that project. And creating that image of monotype is about memory. It's about gesture, just the process of it. It's about referencing, you know, these sort of things. And it's also recognizing that, you know, generations that follow get to fill those not necessarily shoes, moccasins, whatever, wear these hats and wear these ceremonial objects and even take the names of our community members and those names live on in these spaces. So, yeah, it was a look at that.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, I think I saw, I read, this is maybe where I read this, but I think it was in maybe the interview you did with Sterling Harjo recently, who's pal of yours, and somebody did an interview with you two going back and forth about this record and Sterling's work. And I think in there you were describing sort of this album sort of having like an A and B side. Is that true? Did you think of it that way?
It certainly does on the vinyl. So there's there's a limited edition vinyl, and it's very cohesive on A and B as far as, like, you know, the transition to the other side of this record. I think the A and B side here, and there's one transitional track that samples my father speaking, called Deki Tlatin, which is his name. And this track, a sample of him just speaking about the lineage of our family, going back to our, you know, great grandparents and how everybody was, you know, in some form or fashion, creative and makers. And
is that the sixth track?
I don't have it in front of me, but
That's because I know sometimes albums, like, the A side's about four or five songs and the B side's about four or five songs, and it splits right there in the middle.
Yeah. So that, you know, and I think the transition on the other side of that record is some, there's sonically it transitions.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
Oh, wow. My
Siri wants to talk. Or whoever.
Sonically it transitions. And then, of course, just some of the contents of the songs and stuff lyrically, you know, a little more political focus on some of the tracks. But overall, I feel like, you know, the record is, you know, it's dreamy. It's got a kind of this access to these other worlds in a sense, sonically in ways, I suppose. So.
Yeah, it's sort of soothing to listen to. Like, it's kind of got this chill vibe. Yeah. And that's pretty fantastic. And speaking of that song, is it Deki Tlatin?
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen to that song. This is track 6 from the new album Stand on My Shoulders by the band Yatsin, led by 8th Yatsin, Nicholas Galan. And this is Juno Afternoon. We'll listen to this and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more.
My grandfather was working here. He was a totem carver. And his name is George Benson. You know, going to my grandfather's house, we'd watch him go back to his carving room and be carving away. When I saw Louis carving in metal, that's what caught me. An accomplished wood carver and silver carver. His name's Will Burkhart. My mother did artwork, whereas my grandmother did too. Basically, it's been in the family. We have a son now that's pretty much immersed himself into the arts, and his name's Nick. History of artists in their family.
That's Deki Tlatin.
Correct.
From Stand on My Shoulders by Yatsin. I'm in the studio here on Juno Afternoon with the 8th Yatsin, Nicholas Galan, and we're talking about this new album as well as the art show that is opening tomorrow at On Hit, which is downtown. Juno is the new cultural and economic hub from Tlingit and Haida. There's a bunch of artists involved in that. Allison Bremner, Kimberly Fulton Orozco, Nicholas, Ursula Hudson, Jackson Paulus, Aaron Haldane, and Jennifer Younger. So there's a bunch of folks there. And they did a really cool thing. You can check it out on Sea Alaska Heritage's website. They did a talk yesterday. They recorded that talk. You can find that on Sea Alaska Heritage's YouTube about that show that's happening tomorrow. We also had them on. We had Ursula and Kimberly on Juno Afternoon last week, if you want to go back and listen to that. So we're talking about this album and this work. And before I return to that, I just want to talk a little bit about these installations that you do, Nicholas. How do you get these done? That's what I'm, you know, like there's the one that you have that's land, the word land, which you installed near, where was that installed at?
So that was, in every language there's land, in cada lengua. Una Tierra is the title of that work, and that was installed initially. New York Public Art Fund was kind of the partner in that project.
Yeah.
And it was at the Brooklyn Bridge in New York.
Oh, it's very cool.
But it's since traveled, believe it or not, because it was, you know, a large scale. And it's a lot to organize and reinstall, but it's currently up in Abu Dhabi over in the UAE.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. How does it get there? I mean, I know you take it down, put it on a plane and get it there, but it's just like, it's massive, right?
Yeah. For this project, it was Corten steel. So the material is the literal material of the U.S.-Mexico border wall. It was created from material that was supposed to be the wall, and we acquired it and created, diverted it to this art project. So,
oh, that's so cool.
But yeah, it varies in the process of these public projects. Oftentimes there's organizations that are local to those spaces that I work with that are, you know, well-versed in working in their communities. And
yeah.
They will have the engineers needed. They'll have all of the legal, you know, whatever hurdles that have to be crossed.
That's really cool.
And then oftentimes I'll work with fabricators, other studios that will fabricate, you know, the project.
Mm.
Something that scale, you know, you can have welders and a crew of folks that are ensuring that this could be created properly and of that size. This was like 30, you know, it was the size of the U.S.-Mexico border wall. So
wow.
30 feet tall, I believe.
Yeah, it's just it's insanely cool, and with the theme too, it's in there. And then I also have a photo of I think it's the cedar box with the robotic drum.
Yeah.
And then it's funny because there's one picture of it where you go, okay, I can't really tell the size of that. But then there's like a photo from their breakfast opening or something. You can see how big this thing is.
Yeah, that was immersive work. It was a solo exhibition at Mass Art Museum, kind of in conjunction with the Boston Public Art Triennial.
Yeah.
And that piece is, you know, the object is there in the center, but it was really about converting the entire room into a kind of a womb of sorts.
Mm.
So there's video on the walls, and then there's a robotic arm playing the drum. And the sound that it plays on the drum is to the rhythm of a heartbeat inside of a womb. There's a lot of conversations layered in that, but Luke, one of the conversations that I think is important and relevant to our time right now is just the use of technology and tools like AI as autonomous forms of that both extract from our land, but are also used as tools to remove us or people
mm-hmm.
from their homelands. And
I could talk to you for a while about all of this stuff. There's so much that you do that's amazing. One last little tidbit. I say it every day on the show. I say our theme music is by Indian Agent, which is one of your former bands. You gave permission to use the song All Over Town, the instrumental version.
Yes.
We use it every day. And that's a tidbit of trivia that maybe people don't relate those bands together.
Sure. Yeah.
But Indian Agent was a band you still are working with, a few folks from that collaboration. And that's one thing that this album has, Stand on My Shoulders, the new album from Yatsen, is you are collaborating with so many people on this album. Can we shout out a couple of the collaborators on this?
Yeah, certainly. So landing tonight to perform with us is Benjamin Verdos, who did a lot of the production on this record. I've worked with Benjamin on a lot of projects, and we work pretty well together. And then artists, you know, we just had Ashley Young, who you've just played a track from. There's Michelle Andeguiacello is a friend of mine that is playing bass on one of the songs. Of course, John Gurley from Portugal the Man is on this record. Pink Sifu, Dreamcast Mo, Jahan McCall, just, you know, a lot of great artists that I've been meaning to or hoping to work with and realized that on this record. I always call it alchemy when we bring different creative minds together in the music space and you arrive somewhere that you really couldn't get to alone. So.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's a wonderfully collaborative album. If you want to hear it, you're going to be playing with a bunch of folks tomorrow, the band, down at the Crystal Saloon. What time does the show start tomorrow?
think 9 p.m.
9 p.m. You can go over to the Crystal Saloon's website, crystalsaloon.com, and find tickets for that event tomorrow. You can also show up for the On-Hit Village House Gallery Gestures of Our Rebel Bodies, which is from 5 to 8. So basically, you're going to be like Batman. You're going to be like during the day as an artist, and then at night you turn into the musician.
Yes.
And there's like an hour of time in there to change outfits and do whatever, warm up and make it happen, right?
Yeah.
That's really cool. Last question for you. What's 2026 look like? Are you going to go back out on some tour? I know you dropped a little hint earlier, but
we have some shows coming up. I'm already in the music studio again on another project. So kind of working on that, which is just, it's a fun process. And then art, I've got a lot of, travels for arts coming up here. I leave February to head to Qatar for a project.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that'll be a big trip. And then I think I also go to the East Coast and London in the next few months. And I just got off a call for an invitation to a visual arts or outdoor project in Mexico, so that might be exciting, too.
So. Awesome. So where's the best place for people to follow? Is it Instagram is a good place?
Yeah, I think Instagram's a good place to at least stay kind of up to date.
Yeah, and what's your handle on there?
It's at Nicholas Galanin.
Okay, at Nicholas Galanin.
And then I think the music one is at Yatsin, but with a period after A.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, it's so fun. Music, art, all of the things from Yaith Yatsin, Nicholas Galanin. I really appreciate you coming in and taking some time to share this with us. It's wonderful to follow your career. You're really busy. I don't know how you do it. Do you have an assistant or anything?
I have folks that help. Yeah, for music, we've got management, which is nice.
Yeah,
and then, you know, the gallery. I'm represented by a gallerist in New York, and they're able to help on.
Is that the
things.
Peter Bloom guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you can find a bunch of information about Nick on the Peter Bloom Gallery website as well. It's kind of awesome. And this album is available. It's on most of the streaming platforms, save one, I believe, right?
Oh, yeah. We're not on Spotify. We removed our music.
Yeah, you removed the music from Spotify for, I guess, reasons.
For good reasons, I believe. Obviously, protest with the Daniel X investment, who's the CEO, or was, I think, may have stepped down since... Mm-hmm. Since we removed our music.
No. Yatsin's fault. No, just kidding.
But,
no.
You know, investing lots of money into military complex, industrial complex, so like drone technology and weapons and these sort of things. And, you know, there's a lot of musicians that have done this since this has been brought to light. And I think the idea is just that, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but for us, you know, not having control of how our pennies of music, you know, we're not by any means generating a lot of funds for them, I'm sure anyways, but, you know, we don't want to be involved with that from, you know, something as important or sacred or as music can be. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can find the album at Sub Pop Records is who publishes the album. You can also go to Bandcamp. You can buy it that way. You can buy the vinyl over there. You can buy the digital album. That supports the artist directly if you buy through Bandcamp. Or I'm sure you're going to have some ability tomorrow.
We have some vinyl here, and I think it's the last of the vinyl where, you know, we were on tour and we sold almost all of it. So, the only place to get vinyl probably very soon is at On-Hit, the gallery where the show is.
Right, okay.
And then there's a limited edition of 24 that include unique monoprints on each one. So that'll be on exhibit. So
I think I got to go down to On-Hit.
Yeah,
get down there. Yatsin's new album, Stand on My Shoulders, is out now. Check them out tomorrow night at the Crystal Saloon. We're going to go out with one more song from the album. This is called Digital Winter. Yaith Yatsin, Nicholas Glennon, thank you so much. Gunith Cheesh.
Gunith Cheesh.
Really appreciate you coming in. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Trance on the ledge, don't go. You
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Inspired by conversations with diverse Juno residents, These Birds, a play inspired by death, flowers, and Farkle, is a new interview-based play about death and dying. It's being produced by Theatre Alaska, directed by Ryan Conroe, written by Mary Ellefson, with some collaborators and co-creators involved as well. It will follow the Theatre Alaska model of performing in various venues around town. It opens next Thursday, January 28th, at Maker's Space in North Douglas. I am pleased to welcome now to the studio, I have writer Mary Ellefson. Gunath Chi, Shwasi to Mary.
Oh, it's good to see you, Boston.
Good to see you. I also have co-creator Claire Richardson. Wasaiti, how are you today, Claire?
Living the dream. Woke up alive.
That's always a good place to start the day. And then I also have one of the actors and KTOO employee who helps out with Juno Afternoon all the time. And full disclaimer, my partner for almost 13 years, Aaron Tripp, is in the show as well. I'm going to cheese, Aaron. Wasaiti, how are you today? It's so fun to have you all in the studio. So you can go to theateralaska.org to find out information about all the performance areas that they're going to be performing. They're going to be all over town. Some are ticketed performances. There are some free performances. And you can find that full schedule at theateralaska.org. And that's theater with an E-R, how you spell that. And but they're going to be at the Sea Alaska Clan House. They're going to be at the Kunikidi Northern Light United Church. They're going to be at Makerspace. And then they're going to be out in the valley at UAS and also the Mendenhall Public Library. So they're just going to be everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
So it's going to be everywhere all over all at once. So that's kind of fun. So get that information there. But let's talk about, Mary, where did the seed for this play, These Birds, how did this begin?
I think the seed was dropped from the sky by the person to my right, Claire. So I'm going to actually let
okay.
Claire answer that question, and then we'll come to me. How's
excellent.
That?
Yeah. So Claire, where did the germination of this come from?
I'm a hospice chaplain. Okay. And have also worked at the hospital as a chaplain for years before that. And when I was doing my fellowship at St. Christopher's Hospice in London, when I was working on my master's in pastoral studies, it was the most amazing hospice because they also fully used theater, music, and art to connect the patients with the staff, with their families, with the surrounding community. Mm. And I was privileged enough to be there when the kids from a local school interviewed the hospice patients and then did a play celebrating the end of World War II by recounting these stories told to them by the hospice patients. And I was like, I'd never seen anything like that in my life. So I tucked that away in the back of my head. And then as I started working for Bartlett Home Care and Hospice in 2023, I kept thinking there has to be a way to have people to be able to have conversations about death. It's so challenging, even with all the books and web resources and everything that we can offer. It's that personal connection. And I'd been impressed with Theatre Alaska because I saw that Mary had done other plays that were community-based interviews. I saw how they went around the community. You didn't have to pay if you couldn't afford to. Mm. And I was like, maybe this is a vehicle for us to ground the stories of death and dying here in Juno. Mm. And I'm shocked, but when I just pitched it to Florida Lino, the artistic director, he was like, yeah, sounds like a good idea. I'm like, what? and then a few weeks later, Mary emailed me and said, I'm on board. Let's get
go.
Started.
Yeah.
So then I will toss it back to her because basically what I've seen happen is a gift of the whole community to the community, and it has exceeded my wildest dreams of collaboration among the community, and a lot of miracles happening in the past 20 months.
So you get this call from Florida Lino, I'm imagining, like, Mary, you want to work on this play, and what happens then?
What happens then is the absolutely profound journey that I'm able to go on as I talk to people in this community, interview them, and ask them stories. And as you can imagine, you said something about death as we were starting with some somber music, but I'm just going to say there's so much life and fire when we talk about how we connect through stories and through, as one interview said to me, what if there is no line in the sand? We draw a line, but what if there isn't? So I had the privilege of doing some brainstorming. Claire and I did interviews. I did more. I wasn't going to do 100 like I did for my homeless plays. I'm like, I'm capping these at 25 because that will I will live then to right, the end right. as we talk about
life. It's a lot of work to do like the interview process, right? And then actually take all of that and try to get it into a play form, I imagine.
Yeah, I know. And so there's the role of myself in community going through process and going through thoughts, perceptions about death. This one took me on a more, a larger, more complex and lovely journey. Flordolino was gracious to say, okay, if we're going to do this in 2 years, we need reading. So we signed those up, which I loved. So there was this process of engaging artists early on. I think we had 3 different workshops, and Ryan Connor was my dramaturg at the time. And so I have deep gratitude to Aaron, who stepped in this show now, and all the other artists who helped along the way, gave feedback, gave stories, asked what I was missing, sent me back out into the community. And then a deeper gratitude for those people that will come and experience this. I'm going to call it magic. I was thinking on the way here, there is so much magic in this piece. There is so much admiration for I have for when you watch text, you look at text, you're looking at it, become theater. It's textured with what we hear. The soundscape is brilliant. It is like nothing I can imagine sitting in my corner writing a play. I'm watching Aaron in amazing roles that you will only believe. And these stories live in our community. They are part of us. They are of us. We hear ourselves here, whether that's a whale breaching or someone talking about a tragedy or the lovely, profound peace that comes when you're holding someone's hand and move on from this life. So I don't know if I answered your question, but I have been looking at it as this three-tiered approach right now, and how the word gratitude isn't enough for how full I feel about how much it's given me and how much it's challenged my role as an artist right here, Boston.
Right, right.
People are talking. My belief was, ooh, this is kind of taboo. Everyone that we talked, it is about conversation. It is about, let's be a little less lonely in this thing.
Right, right. Yeah, understanding, right? And also knowing that you're not alone in it, or that you can find camaraderie and community inside that conversation, you know, which I think is really cool. I just think it's so interesting to take, you know, interview-based play form is a thing, and you've had much experience in that world. It's how Perseverance started way back 50 some odd, almost 50 years ago with Pure Gold. Like, it was about that experience. So, and is the challenge there to take the interviews and then, like, try to come up with a story? Because I know there's like a lead character that goes through the story, and then there's other people that we meet along the way. And is that something that you do, that you listen to all the interviews and then you try to craft the sort of the way we're going to get through the play?
I want to make a long story short. Claire and I went through the interviews and transcribed them. Most of them are 10, 12, 13 pages of single spaced interviews. We asked similar questions to everyone.
Yeah.
I tried to avoid having one person guide us. Maybe one person is more comfortable, one character I've created, talking about death. So you'll see some different things in this piece. But then I just really, really tried to listen. What were they saying? And gosh, they are saying really different things about the same thing, which is why I love sort of the idea of blurred collectivity and the individual lines in the poster.
Yeah.
And I also think that Aaron sitting next to me carries the extremes of some of those stories.
Yeah, so Aaron, your work on this play, how has it been?
Well, great.
Don't say anything else.
Just one word. Well, while we were talking, while you guys were talking, I was thinking about something Ryan said, which, so like in a lot of plays, it's about like the arc of the story itself, like what journey does your character go on or the play goes on. But like, it's kind of something Ryan said that flipped the way I thought about it, is that it's about what journey we're helping the audience go on through seeing the play. And so we're like almost facilitating that by sharing these stories. And so like, I think that the order of the stories and how they work together helps carry that. And like what you're talking about, I do have like extreme ends of the play. Like I start this very like brash, kind of more like hard exterior type character, and end in this like more soft, open, kind of person. So.
And because you play multiple characters.
Multiple characters, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Some of them being like the one leading the story, and then there's also like a lot what we call the raindrop scenes, where we like are doing these pop-up lines of different snippets of interviews.
Yes, I've been running lines with Aaron.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I know the play pretty well.
Boston is familiar.
So there's like a section where there's some moms together. Yes, those are sort of like, you know,
attorneys,
a little of the attorney scene. But you also have these giant monologues, too, that you are a part of in this play. And so how do you feel – what are you hoping that as an actor, I guess, I'm curious, like what do you hope the audience, you know, comes away with after the show?
Big question. something I think about a lot in my life is because I sometimes do think about death in like a – fearful kind of way, of course, like because I'm a human. But something I've always tried to move away from is that thinking, and not just that it's like talking about it makes us feel like we're not alone, but also not talking about it makes it feel scarier because it feels like then this like looming kind of like, oh, we don't talk about that thing that's coming for all of us kind of thing. And thinking about it as a Tlingit person, like it feels like talking about it and accepting it as a balance of life feels like decolonizing it. And so I hope that there's a start for the audience, if they're not in that place where they're ready to talk about it, like to start thinking about it, and also thinking about the fact that they're not alone, because even though these stories are from specific people, like they're not unique.
Yeah. And I think that there's, Mary, like there's also like there's joy, you know, there's joy because it's not just
Brian,
you know,
it's a Boston.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going back to our. It's a comedy.
Yeah.
No, I was actually listening to your interview yesterday with the comedian, and I was like, wow, there are some intersections. If people listen to both of those in our play and what he said.
Yeah.
But the process of grief is multifaceted, and we are so human, and it's messy, and it's hard, and it's expected, and it's normal. And believe me, I like we talked to the actors the other day, like we don't sit around a rehearsal and process death, but we are all carrying it differently because we're in the rehearsal room. I think I'm not assuming anything, Aaron. So in answer to your question, I'm excited about surprises. And what I'm really, really grateful for is somewhere in the stage directions that Ryan made me get rid of everything, was about connection. And because we have the opportunity to connect or not, however we're comfortable, but the way the designers and the actors and the ensemble is working, and one of the actors said it in a workshop. Oh, she said, okay, Mary, I think you've given us calm in the storm now. And that was a huge, huge moment for me. And I also have a hats off to Erin. We worked together in Home But Not Less. And when I heard that she was cast in this play, my heart just jumped because of the work that she did and what you taught me in that play.
Nice cheese.
Yep.
Going to cheese for that. Well, it's really nice to have you all here. The play opens next Thursday, January 29th at Juno Makerspace. It runs at various different locations across town for, I think, 3 weeks or so. You can find more information at theateralaska.org. And we've mentioned Ryan Conroy, who was the dramaturg. He's also the director of the play. There's a ton of people here in terms of working on the show design-wise. I also just wanted to shout out the actors that people will see in the show: Enrique Bravo, Adea Rain Brown, Brian Crowder, Noah Carlson, Vance Murray, Andrew A.J. Roa, Tara Stark, Aaron Tripp, and George Holly is a musician. That's fantastic that you have George, because there's no, I don't know if there's any warmer person in the world than George Holly. So, yeah, it's These Birds, the new play from
Mary. Say the whole title.
Oh, do I have the whole title?
Yeah, These Birds, a play inspired by death, flowers, and Farkle.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even get to the Farkle. Where's the Farkle? I know we're running out of time, but tell me quickly, what's the Farkle?
When you think of Farkle, what do you think? How do you play that game?
Oh, is that? Oh, that is a game.
Yeah, capital F. It's skill and it's chance. You can have a plan and there's a little bit of luck.
Okay.
So I don't know. This 6-year-old girl, I was interviewing one of my Clinkett mentors, and his granddaughter was playing Farkle, and I can't understand how metaphorically that became in it, but now it's crucial.
It's your job as an audience to go and yeah, find out where that comes from. Why is Farkle in the title of the play? I love it. Well, going to teach Claire Richardson, Aaron Tripp, Mary Ellefson, thank you so
thank
much
you
for coming in and sharing yeah with us about this play. Go see it, These Birds. Go to theateralaska.org for more information.
Going to teach.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. We're going to play a little bit more from the new album Stand on My Shoulders from Yacht Scene. This one is called Taste on My Lips, featuring Portugal the Man and a few other featured artists. This is Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I'm joined in studio now by Tara Patterson from CBJ Pools. Gonna cheese, Haigudi. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here. Wasiati, how are you today, Tara?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Well, it's a pleasure to have you in the studio, as always, to talk a little bit of CBJPools.org, right?
Yes. I have a few things to chat about for that, and then some general Parks and Rec stuff
awesome
as well. So
yeah, well, let's go.
Yeah. Well, so it's January, and February is right around the corner. I like to look at February 1st as New Year's resolution do-over, because a lot of people have big aspirations for January, and then, well, we have snowstorms and things get in the way.
I'm going to start going to the gym every day.
Right,
and then
right,
2 feet of snow may have put a kibosh
on that. Might
have
put a damper on it. So just a reminder that we have an amazing fitness deck at our downtown pool. We also have a fitness deck at the Valley Pool as well. Lots of opportunities like lap swimming, aqua aerobics, exercise equipment. And then we are also looking at potentially bringing in a aqua yoga opportunity in the next month or two. Yeah.
Aqua yoga.
We've been looking for an instructor forever, like for over a year. We have the equipment, and it looks like we might have somebody who's interested. So just a little teaser for that, that more information should be coming in the next few weeks.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. And that's where the best place to go is to go to find that information is cbjpools.org, right?
Junopools.org.
Yeah. Junopools.org.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Junopools.org.
Yes.
Okay.
Also, our next swim lesson registration date is February 13th. I always like to give a plug for that because the lessons do fill up pretty quickly. However, we do still have a few spots left in our parent and taught classes that are on Saturday mornings. Folks can still register. They've missed one class, but that doesn't mean they can't still sign up. And it's rare that we have space available for these classes. So great opportunity. If you have children between the ages of 6 months up to 2 years and 11 months, it's a great start for kiddos that age. Gets them comfortable in the water and ready for swim lessons.
Like a parent and taught class you do together.
Exactly. You get in the water with the baby and blow bubbles and play games, and it's lots of fun.
That's just too fun.
It is.
What are the classes that fill up the quickest?
Oh, usually that class and then our beginner preschool classes, like level one and two for preschool kids.
Yeah, so if you're thinking about it, get on it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then also we have something fun coming up at the Diamond Park Field House. We used to offer chair yoga at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center, and we don't do that anymore. Our instructor moved away. But starting the first week of February, the Field House will be offering chair yoga. It was wildly popular, and so I'm excited to see that they're going to carry on that class.
Excellent.
It's going to be Monday and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. at the Field House. And the awesome thing about this is their track, the indoor track at the Field House, is open until 1 o'clock for people to walk. So they can pay the admission fee to walk, and then after they're done walking, they can take the class all for one fee.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it's a great opportunity, and stretch your legs, get some exercise. The chair yoga is a great class, helps with flexibility and mobility.
I need that. Even though I spend most of my day in a chair, don't do any yoga when I'm in the chair.
Exactly. It's a good thing.
And sometimes I get up after doing the show and I'm like, oh, I needed to exercise. Can we do it during the show? I wonder if I can get the instructor on here and we can teach people how to do it.
Think we could manage that.
That would be kind of fun. Okay. What else is going on?
Well, the other thing I wanted to talk about today is something that is actually CBJ-wide, but for those people out there who enjoy using Parks and Recreation, there's currently a survey being put out by the City and Borough of Juneau. Most people are probably familiar with the propositions that passed during the election in October. And those, because those passed, there are cuts to sales taxes, excuse me, which is great, but it does mean that the city is looking to cut between $2 and $4 million from their budget. Mm-hmm. And so the assembly has directed city staff to get feedback from the community on where they would prioritize funding and potentially what services they think would be appropriate to reduce funding. So this is a really important opportunity for the citizens of Juneau to give feedback on what do you want to see, what do you prioritize tax dollars going to, and then what services maybe do you think don't need as much funding as they currently have.
Yeah, we had Assemblymember Christine Wall and also Phil Hibshin from the Communications Department in on Wednesday for a long talk about what this survey is, where did it come from, why is it happening, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he said that I think people should remember is that it's really about what do you value as a community member?
Exactly.
And that's what they need to hear feedback on is not so much what you think should be cut per se, but what do you value?
Right.
Like,
right.
What do you value more than other things? And that will really give them a sense of what's going on in the community and where things happen. Because they're really looking for, like, I think it's 10 to 12, but I know from certain things like this, it's going to be about 2 to 4. And they're, you know, one of the options too is to raise fees for things like the pools or for things like that. So it's a matter of really getting your voice out into the, and let the assembly know, and the city manager know, like, what do you value? Correct.
Yeah. It's surprising how many services the city offers, and I think sometimes people lose sight of that.
Yeah.
So the cool thing about this survey is it, you know, really lists out everything that the city does. And there are, you know, so many important services that the city offers. It's really important that people tell assembly members what they prioritize, so that thing, you know, so that those services don't go away.
Do you have a website link?
I do. It's a SurveyMonkey link, and I can actually pass this on over to you.
Okay. Yeah, I think you can go to the juno.org/community-compass. And it will get you there to this survey.
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier than saying the SurveyMonkey one. I know they have a bit.ly too that Phil gave out on Wednesday, but I can't remember exactly what it is. It might be bit.ly/CBJ survey. It might be.
I think that sounds right.
And they've already had a lot of responses. So get yourself in there for, and get your voice heard, basically.
The other thing that the city is doing, and they may have already mentioned this on Wednesday, is they're giving opportunities, the assembly is giving opportunities for people to come give feedback. They'll have two dates scheduled for that. And also doing some workshops, in-person workshops. So
those sounded really fun. Yeah.
Yeah,
the idea of figuring out like how you would sort of, you know, play as an assembly member, choosing the model that you would use and sort of getting into the mind of like how that would work. It's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Well, Tara Patterson, thank you so much. JunoPools.org is the place to go to sign up for classes. As mentioned, the parent taught class maybe has room for somebody. One class has already happened, but then next session registration happens on February 13th. So start looking at that calendar and figuring what might be good for you and your family.
Absolutely.
Gwyneth Cheese, Tara, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. You can find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. You can also find live stream archives over on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you and Alaska Airlines, Club 49, Hanson Grass, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today and also interviewed Aaron Tripp. Gwyneth Cheese, have a fantastic Juno weekend.